Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday's program, I spoke about the need to forgive, as I many times do, because that comes up again and again in the gospel. And today, before we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which we will do, I want to read something to you that my favorite scripture scholar in terms of the Gospel of Matthew is Merica Keys. And I want to read to you what he said about this area of forgiveness. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," in addition to being more correct, is also much more poignant and memorable. "Such chronic indebtedness as a quality of our very being might indeed irritate our innate sense of independence and self-reliant individualism, and yet at the same time it is the very ground of spiritual childhood." Remember what I was talking about this past week, about being willing to look to God as the source, not to yourself as the source. "It is the very ground of spiritual childhood and the potential source of endless joy. To be radically and permanently indebted to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for our very existence, for every breath of every moment, for the blessed state of being forgiven and reconciled with his heart, is the foundation of the only relationship and friendship that ultimately matter." Let me repeat that. "Such chronic indebtedness as a quality of our very being might indeed irritate our innate sense of independence and self-reliant individualism." We do. That's us. "And yet, at the same time, it is the very ground of spiritual childhood and the potential source of endless joy. To be radically and permanently indebted to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Live out of gratitude to God for what he's done. To be radically and permanently indebted to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for our very existence, for every breath of every moment, for the blessed state of being forgiven and reconciled with his heart is the foundation of the only relationship, the only friendship that ultimately matter. But as one who time and again is forgiven a debt that I cannot even begin to repay, I must necessarily also become one who time and again himself forgives. That I can be offended and wronged, Jesus in no way denies. However, the fact is that I can forgive as God forgives, because I have already been forgiven an offense infinitely greater than any I can ever suffer. I've offended the Son of God. I contributed to the death of Jesus Christ. I did. And what Merikaki says, however, the fact is that I can forgive as God forgives, because I have already been forgiven an offense infinitely greater than any I can ever suffer. This reality transforms a condition of hurt and insult into an opportunity to imitate and participate in the very nature of God. Forgive as I have been forgiven. Ponder that. Take time to ponder that. Very, very insightful. I wish I could take more time, but we're going to look ahead now to the readings for this Sunday, taken from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 4 to 6 and 8 to 10. "In those days, the princes said to the king, 'Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin.' King Zedekiah answered, 'He is in your power,' for the king could do nothing with them. So they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Prince Micaiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud." When you are a prophet, prepare yourself for trials, because God calls us to witness, not just by our words, but by our lives. Abedmelech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, "My lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city." Then the king ordered Abedmelech the Cushite to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. When you live for the truth, brothers and sisters, when you commit yourself, when you decide that it's going to, compromise is over, that you're really going to live for the Lord, Scripture tells us, prepare yourself for trials. Jeremiah sure had one here. God always helps us, though, in the midst of our distress. Much better to suffer for the glory of God and for the sake of eternal life than to suffer in this world, and when you die, it's all done. Get the eternal perspective. You are going to live forever. How are you going to live? Psalm 40, Lord, come to my aid. Great psalm to pray when things are difficult. The Lord heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a crag. He made firm my steps. He put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look on in awe and trust in the Lord. Though I am afflicted and poor, yet the Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, hold not back. That's how we should cry out to God when we're in difficulty. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Not just when things are going really well. Turn to Him when things are difficult. Both times we need to turn to God. Turn to Him first. He may use human help, yes, absolutely, but turn to God first, both in joy and in sorrow. Turn to Him first. Second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of our faith. Let me read that again. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you are. You can't see them, brothers and sisters, but there are angels and saints down through the ages who are rooting for you, praying for you. Really? Let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before Him, He endured the cross. Jesus had to keep His eyes on the Father. For the sake of the joy that lay before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how He endured such opposition from sinners in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus endured. He will be with you. Walk with Him. Draw close to Him. He will be with you. In order that you may not grow weary and lose heart in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 53. Jesus said to His disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished." It's baptism of blood for your sake and for mine. "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and son against his father, a mother against her daughter, a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." In other words, brothers and sisters, in other words, prepare yourself for trials. To follow the Lord is not easy. We're dealing with all kinds of fighting around us all the time, employers and employees, parents and children. Siblings against one another. We're fighting all the time. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest. I will show you the way through. I will help you. I will be with you. You are not alone. But to hear that, we need to go to him. Turn to him. Catherine of Siena, a number of years ago, wrote this. So I want you, my son, to open your mind's eye and focus it on Christ crucified, for he is the fountain where we can drink to the full, drawing from him sweet, loving desires. These are the desires I want you to pour out on the body of Holy Church for God's honor and every person's salvation. If you do, your words and your actions will become like an arrow drawn red hot out of the fire, that wherever it is shot sets on fire everything it strikes, since it can't help sharing what it has. So, son, think of your soul as entering the fiery furnace of divine charity, and love's power will make you shoot out and share what you have drawn from the fire. And what have you drawn from God in this way? Hatred and contempt for yourself, but love for virtue, hunger for the salvation of souls, and the honor of the Father. For that is all that is found in this gentle word. You see, it was for hunger Christ died. So intense was that hunger that the force of love produced a sweat, not of water, but drops of blood. How could a heart be so hard and stubborn as not to burst with emotion from the warmth and the heat of this love, this fire? Contemplating it, we can only be like flax stubble thrown into the fire. It can't help burning, since it is the nature of fire to burn and to transform into itself whatever comes near it. When we contemplate our Creator's love, we are drawn at once to love him and turn our affection completely to him. In him, all the dampness of selfishness is dried up, and we take on the likeness of the Holy Spirit's fire. It's a great saint speaking. She's saying in marvelous words what I've been humbly and haltingly trying to convey to you. God is an eternal furnace of love. He wants you to give your whole life to him, everything, that he might love through you and work through you. That means to give up unforgiveness, means to give up jealousy and envy and hatred and lying and stealing, all the myriad forms that those sins take. God's asking us to give up those things by his grace and power. Sometimes we're in such habitual patterns that it seems impossible to break the pattern. But with Christ, nothing is impossible. God can take you, a great sinner, and make of you an even greater saint. If you abandon yourself to him, if you follow him, if you read his word, if you obey his word, if you participate in the sacraments again and again and again, your life will change. And God will shine through you to bring many who presently walk in darkness into the light of God's face. May God lead you and bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.